Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking, an Elevated Missions Prep Incorporated company. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest is a trained scientist. For 20 years, she served as quality control specialist at the Center for Biostatistics and Aid Research at Harvard. When her illness heightened, she and her husband turned to God for answers. They joined the church, started studying the Bible, and built their relationship with God. She calls God the great scientist, and she seeks to bridge the gap between the Christian faith and science. Her book, Water is Faithful, Haiku for Mind, Body, and Soul, is one of those links in that bridge. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Miss Cynthia Wilkening. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hi. Thank you very much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing your story because apparently, I mean, you were this great scientist. You were doing all these things in the name of science. But at the same time, you started dealing with an illness and they got to a point where it was heightened and you were seeking answers and you turned to God. Can you share a little bit more about your story and how you got here?
Well, yes. Just as a little backstory, I grew up in New Hampshire to nominally Protestant parents. I went to VBS at age 10 and made Jesus my savior, but I didn't make him a Lord. I did not get any further education. I did not understand I was supposed to obey him until I was 39 years old. And I discovered after I left my parents' house that I had a mental illness. I had bipolar. And despite several bipolar episodes, I was able to graduate from University of Vermont, Michigan State University, and MIT with degrees in the life sciences, as you mentioned. I met my husband in Boston in 1988. We married in 1989. And then I had a severe episode that, of course, wasn't supposed to happen. Once you get married, you're not supposed to have any trouble, right? And I was able to respond fairly quickly with medicine that it worked. And from there, we moved to Lowell, and we discovered that, my husband suggested we go to a church. And I was quite shocked because in talking and stuff, he had a Christian background, but he left it when he graduated from high school. And so we started going to a church that we still go to. And we not only met people, we met Jesus in a really special way. And the connection between science and Christianity is we got a lot of discipleship training to see that working in science can be a form of worship. And it was for a lot of early scientists and still is for many scientists. They still have a strong Christian faith. My book, it partly is about science and religion, and it's about the relationship with Jesus that I developed, that he developed in me over the years. I started when we moved to Lowell, I started taking the commuter train to work in Boston. And I found I had some time, and I had an interest in haiku growing up. And so I decided some of the ideas for the poems just came into my mind based on things that I'd been taught in science and things that I had been taught in my Christian education at the church. From there, I had time to write poems. I never really thought about publishing them at the time. It was an expression of my faith to write some of these poems. And haiku in itself is it started in Japan and was very much a part of nature and Buddhism. And I thought, well, I really like the structure of haiku, which is three lines with 5, 7, 5 syllables. And it makes you really condense your idea into very few words, makes people think a lot of times. So I had these poems and I kind of put them aside. And then one of my husband's high school friends from New York was a poet, and he had published some poems in an online Christian magazine called Creative Inspirations. So I decided to submit some of my haiku, and they were accepted. And I did that for a while. And then one of my friends was publishing a book of poetry through Westbow Press. And I decided to check them out. And so I was able, they were very excited about Christian haiku. So I went through all the steps, and then I was able to publish in January of this year, Water is Faithful. The connection between science and Christianity, God's zeal can do it. He lives far out of the box. Do not hem him in. In a lot of ways, science can't really explain a lot of things. Part of the problem with science and Christianity is that many times things are not reproducible, and that's the realm of science. In Christianity, for example, we've gone from having a very a worldview of not knowing a lot about the world and having a lot of faith, to being in a point now where we have a lot of knowledge about the world. The world is very small now. I mean, the connections are just instantaneous. And I think that for many Christians, science is misunderstood. And there's a lot of fear, I think, among people who don't understand science. And then in the scientific realm, there can be a lot of negative consequences of people's beliefs in science, that we're just a product of evolution. Now, mind you, evolution can happen. I mean, I can understand situations where a black moth on a black tree doesn't get eaten. So if mutations come along and the black moth will survive from being eaten. But I'll read another poem here. Something from nothing, only God could do it right. Spirit births matter. And the reason that poem is important to me is that because God created the universe, and before that, he still is in close communion, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it just seems that from that, the fact that the spirit births matter, everything we see, time and space, are all part of that created universe. And because of that, we matter to God. He created matter. He wanted family. I have a poem that God wanted family, the diverse universe, maybe united someday. I mean, I have enough interest in science to realize, and enough thoughts about probabilities and things, that it's probable that there are other worlds out there. And it's very interesting to realize that those other worlds are very far, far away from us. And probably a reason for that. There's a lot of question right now. Have we been visited by aliens? And I say, and my response to that is, well, maybe we have, maybe we haven't, but we have been visited by God in the form of Jesus the Son. We live on a visited planet. God, and this is what separates Christianity from other religions. God came down to us instead of us trying to perform and climb up the mountain to reach the guru at the top of the mountain. And God became one of us, a human being. I mean, that is like, it's so, you could consider it so condescending for him to do that. But because he loves us, then that makes all the difference. And a lot of people debunk Adam and Eve. Descended from apes. My real take on that is that you had to have a human man and a human woman to produce a human baby. And you don't get that with the current feelings about evolution, and it sets up people to be sort of, some people are more advanced than others, and just a lot of bad things the attitude that we're produced by evolution.
Science, it wants this concrete answer for everything, but faith in God says God can do the impossible. And that's where the real divide seems to be.
Yes. Yeah. I'll probably get, hate mail or something from saying that a day in the Bible, whose day was it? Earth day or Jupiter's day? I mean, a day could be thousands and thousands of years. So in terms of how old civilization is, I find it interesting that civilization seems to have started in the Mesopotamian area where Iraq and Iran are now. And in evolution, they're saying that it started in Africa, and that maybe people migrated to Mesopotamia. But the real question is, why didn't evolution just pop up in a lot of places? Why is it? It's the migration of people from Mesopotamia. At one point, I had an article that described the descendants of people from the Book of Numbers in the Bible, and I thought it was fascinating to read how different people groups moved from different areas. Probably the Chinese moved from China down, crossing the Bering Strait, which might have been land at that time, down into North America and China. So when you really get down to it, we're all immigrants. If you look, it's just interesting. The other thing about mentioning God's zeal can do it. There was one time in one of the labs that I worked in when I was a student, challenged me, and this was before I had any training and really didn't know what to say, but she said about the virgin birth, there had to be a sperm. Now, this is science talking. There had to be a sperm. But I didn't know what to say to her, so I didn't respond. But now I would say to her, God, as I say here, God's zeal can do it. If he wants to create a human baby outside of the box, then you can't stop him, and you can't deny that he has the power to do that. And so I think it's very important for young people who are Christian to get their training before they go out in the world. And not just songs and games and stuff, but real biblical training. And I think a lot of serious students do that.
So I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I think you made a very important point. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to be prepared to deal with the world as it is. We do have access to a lot of knowledge, but the greatest knowledge that we need, it seems that we're pulling away from it. We're seeing a lot of people walk away from the church. But there are things you won't be able to explain with science. And you do have to look beyond yourself to be able to explain it. And we just don't have all the answers. And I'm thinking about people when how did God speak this into existence? How did God manifest this? How did a God, you know, they have those types of questions. But I'm thinking about every day we speak certain things into existence. Our words are powerful. And that's what the Bible says. We have the power of life and death within our tongue. And so every day we're speaking. And so even though we're not at the highest level that he is, we are definitely exemplifying what God has done for us as people. And I've always had this question when people talk about the Big Bang Theory and an explosion happened. And I said, when we think of explosion, it's usually destroying something. I said, how did we get something that's destructive and create something so lush and beautiful and wonderful? And I said, there's so many questions out there. But I said, if we turn to God, what I think we will find is that the things that really matter, we will find in him. It's not in the science. I feel like God made science for us, not so science can put a box around him and describe who he's supposed to be or that he doesn't exist or so forth.
Actually, this is a bridge from science and Christianity, is the singularity, which in science is the very microsecond before the Big Bang. Now, I don't have a problem in understanding the Big Bang, because there was nothing. There was only the Trinity in existence. And then the poem goes, singularity manifested in Jesus. The Big Bang was his. And some of the most brilliant scientists haven't been able to comprehend both a time without time. And they haven't been able to see that, yes, God was even in that. And Jesus he pushed the button and said, now. And the Webb telescope that's up a million miles away from us in the heavenly realms are seeing pictures of the beginning of the universe billions of years ago, and it's hard to comprehend that vastness of space. So I guess I'm seeing, even in some things that scientists claim in their realm, I'm seeing Jesus in there. And I was
thinking as you were talking, when you said, you know, God was even in that, I said, what if the Big Bang was his voice speaking?
Right.
And I said, right there is definitely a bridge.
Yeah. I mean, that's the word. And everything that has ever been made by humans began with an idea in somebody's mind, and then things came from there. And it's the same with God. I mean, God had his word and he spoke it and he created it. And another poem that I had is DNA is life's grand blueprint. And I should have said it's God's grand blueprint. And God is the ultimate craftsman. So even the fabric of life was created by him. And so much of nature is just amazing, amazing creations. And many scientists and other people that may not have been specifically scientists got ideas for everyday things from nature, such as snowshoes from the snowshoe hare, or Velcro, which is from burdocks. If anybody's ever been stuck with burdocks, they know how hard it is to pull them off. But a person studied, just got the idea. And it's very possible that that the idea came to his mind from study and from revelation from God. You know, a lot of scientists may not feel that their thoughts or their creations come from God, but serendipity is nobody really understands serendipity. The idea that it's like an aha moment, both in science and in Christianity, when people understand a certain passage of scripture for the first time, even though they've read it many times before. Serendipity placed in minds that are ready, signature of God. And I mean, scientists are trained in certain things. And I'm not a true scientist. I don't have a PhD. I was too ill to complete my PhD, but I did was able to do an experiment that had a promising thesis. And so I was able to graduate with a degree. It just wasn't the one I had hoped to obtain. People are trained in certain things so they can understand dreams or visions that they get. And the person that invented or understood how a benzene ring, which is a chemical structure that's common now, it's a structure, but he was the one, he had a dream of how it looked conceptually, basically like a hexagon, and that changed science quite a bit. And for good or for bad, I mean, in some cases, I mean, certainly when Einstein came up with E=mc², and that led to the atom bomb, which a lot of times inventions do end up being used in warfare. And that is the history of the world, is it seems, is one war after the other. But because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. I think that's, and as far, just as an aside, the atom bomb stopped World War II. And the second one had to be dropped because the Japanese didn't surrender after the first one. We only had two bombs, and nobody knew that. It's because we saw the destruction that it caused, there have not been any more bombs dropped. And as far as World War II goes, if the bombs had not been dropped, the next step in the war was to invade Iwo Jima in hand-to-hand combat. And it probably would have spilled into Japan. A lot of lives would have been lost, more lives lost than with the bomb, both in Japan, from the Japanese and from the Americans. What's to say there wouldn't have been a baby boomer generation? The war would have gone on and on and on, just as we're seeing in Ukraine. My point is that for every good purpose that scientific creations come out with, they eventually end up hurting us. It's so it seems.
So it's important true. That we are connected to something higher. And that higher for us as Christians is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we can be guided on how to use it in the way that he would see fit, because only he knows what's truly good. And we have our ideas, and even in everyday life, we may seek to do something good, but God is saying, you know, I want you to use wisdom in this. I want you to do this instead. We may not always understand it. And that is why we do need God, because we can't see beyond what's in front of us right now. And there could be greater consequences that are just down the road. And so it's so important that we are, in fact, guided. Cynthia, what is next for you? I know you've written your book. You're continuing your studies in the Christian faith. What else is it that you want to do?
Well, I want to be able for people to take a look at the poetry book. I found it very difficult for people, like even family. They got a book and then they put it on the coffee table. And I asked them, what do you think of it? Oh, well, we haven't read it. I found that poetry is a hard sell for a lot of people. Other people that do really enjoy poetry really felt the book was inspirational. As far as what I'll be doing next, I'm hoping to do a reading of some of the poems at one of the local bookstores. The book is online. It's available on Amazon. I'm trying to market the book that I have. I am continuing to write poems. I don't know if another book is down the pike or not. Oh yes, the name of the book is Water is Faithful: Haiku for Mind, Body, and Soul. I had thought of a title for another book, and it basically. It's the idea, and this is true of the Bible, not just my book, that the expression, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. My response to that is, well, run him around the track a few times, and he'll want to drink.
He'll want to, yeah, absolutely. I love it.
We just have to fit, you know, what makes people thirsty for God.
Oh, yeah, I think that's another important point right there. You need to fill people with what they are thirsty for. I love that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that people can find your book on Amazon. How can they connect with you? Website, social media?
I'm not on social media. I'm a real dinosaur, I guess, in that respect. But I do have email, and I would be happy to hear from people through email. I have a website, but it's a static website. There's just information, and also you can order from the publisher on the website, which is just my name, CynthiaWilkening.com. This is tough, but I'm basically an introvert getting out there and trying to, you know, promote myself and promote the book. Sometimes it's a little bit intimidating to me. My husband and I have visited some local bookstores to see if they could put the book on the shelf. It's a local author, and it's available in Kindle, and it's also available in paperback. And the design of the book is that it's one poem per page, so that there's no distractions when you look if you feel like annotating the book with your own comments, you can do that.
What do you want to leave with the audience? What action step can they take today to move closer to God in their faith, but at the same time thinking about this scientific background? What is the one thing they can do?
I think possibly the ideas that Christians could learn about science. Learn how not be antagonistic towards science, and scientists not to be antagonistic toward Christians. we're seeing, it's like right and left hand, or the right and left eye. The right eye sees one thing, the left eye sees another thing, and come together to understand reality, to understand God, to understand science's place and role in modern life. I mean, right now everybody is amazed at how quickly artificial intelligence has come on the scene, and what does that mean? I have a poem that's not in the book about artificial intelligence, and I say, artificial intelligence runs on electricity instead of pizza. The joke about that is that you can fuel up a teenager with tons of pizza and he'll go mow the lawn. Artificial intelligence runs on electricity. It can pull a plug. The electricity in itself is in training artificial intelligence robot takes a lot of electricity and water to do. But I mean, this is the direction science is going right now. I hate to say it, but it seems like people don't matter. It's the intelligence that matters, the intelligence, when actually the true intelligence is God, because along with intelligence is love.
Yeah, absolutely. I have enjoyed our conversation. There are just a lot of different things that were coming to mind as you were speaking. And I was thinking, I said, Christians really do need to get more into science. And I said, and just see where God takes you, because God can take you to higher levels within science, give you a better understanding of what's happening. And my hope is that scientists who don't look at the Christian faith as something that they need, that this will introduce the idea to them that they do, in fact, need to look to someone higher than themselves, that we were all created to be these great beings, and you can be that through science. And so I say to my audience, you've heard the things that she said. Let's get connected. Let's see how we can meet people where they are. Sometimes I think we are dismissive because we don't understand what the other person's perspective. But if we will stop, take time to really look at the situation and see how we can connect, I believe we can all move closer to God. And I just want to say thank you all for listening to this episode. I've really enjoyed Cynthia being here today. And I just look forward to bringing you more episodes like this. Thank you again for listening. And you all have a wonderfully blessed day. Bye.